Well, the students that have come to the monastery, their level of practice is different. Some of them, their understanding, the difference between their ability to know the true nature of mind and to be able to support the true nature of mind, and to be able to recognize the true nature of mind already is something quite incredible. However, with respect to the great perfection, recognizing the true nature of mind is just a foundation. It is only through abiding in the true nature of mind and supporting it that we will be able to attain Buddhahood in the same lifetime. What is our work after recognizing the true nature of mind? It is to support the true nature of mind. And then after that, to abide in the true nature of mind. And this is the practice for you to master, not really anything else. First, recognize the true nature of mind. Second, support it. Third, moment by moment, day and night, abide in the true nature of mind. And in this way, able to attain Buddhahood in this lifetime. Most of the students here have already recognized the true nature of mind, just it's very difficult for them to be able to support and abide in the true nature of mind. Master this, and then you will have always repaid the great merit of your guru, and be free from revolving around in samsara. To recognize the true nature of mind, we do need our faith and to follow a pure lineage. Most difficult is to support the state of mind and to abide in the true nature of mind day and night. Really, to recognize the true nature of mind, you think you've gone from the preliminary practices, taking refuge, study, contemplating, practice, and from practicing, requesting pith instructions, and then gradually through this, recognizing the true nature of mind. And this already takes time. We must be prepared to practice. People who are not prepared to practice will never be able to recognize and support the true nature of mind. And already to be able to recognize the true nature of mind is so incredible. Even in the monasteries in Tibet, anybody who has recognized the true nature of mind, already we look at them differently. And then after recognizing the true nature of mind, we don't need too many positive causes. What we need to do is to be able to support it. And to do this, we need faith. As we said earlier, what is it that really enabled Milarepa to become such a great practitioner and realizer? It was due to his faith. And no matter what happened, what appearances, what conditions, through his faith, he continued and was able to attain the great realization of the great perfection. It is through the faith that enables us to continue. If we don't have that great faith and that unmoving faith, then there might be this appearance or that appearance, and we become all infatuated with these. However, they are not something that is important. I saw this, I heard this. All of these appearances are not the ultimate goal. We see these rainbows and all of these appearances in the sky, and we take our camera or our phone and we take photographs of it. This is not the ultimate goal. There might be special appearances, however, this is not the ultimate goal. Saying I heard this or I saw this, really don't follow these things. This is not the ultimate goal. Don't follow these. Do you hear me? Buddha said, and said very clearly, the first is bodhicitta. Of course, if we don't have bodhicitta, we will not be able to attain Buddhahood. And the second for our foundation is our unmoving belief in our guru. Just these two points. And bring these two together, and this is the quickest way to attain Buddhahood. Give rise to bodhicitta, and then directly do the practices. Then we have bodhicitta, and we have the state of the great perfection. And this is the state of realization of practice. One might experience some appearances, and we can rejoice. However, most important is that our true nature of mind is unmoving. And as I have taught in the powerful aspiration of Samantabhadra, all the changes of appearances of our mind. And we might see many changes of appearances, many movements. However, this is not what is most ultimate. The ultimate is the Dhammakaya. And so the ultimate practice is to bring our mind back to the natural state of the great Dhammadhatu. And how do we achieve this? Is through the great practice of bodhicitta. It helps our mind to return back to the state of Dhammadhatu. Through the blessing of the Guru and bringing our mind to bodhicitta. And we bring our mind back to Dhammadhatu. And we must be clear about this is the purpose of our practice. And it's important that we practice in this direction and keep on practicing. I've told you many times, our mind has two layers. There is a shallow layer and there is a more deep or profound layer. In the shallow layer is where we have many of these arising thoughts, and very easily we engage or follow negative thoughts, or we might feel dullness. And in this level, in the shallow level, very easily we follow thoughts or are influenced by external appearances. And when we're in the more profound, the deeper state of meditation, then our mind doesn't experience this, or we're not influenced by these thoughts and external appearances. And if we're in a very deep state of this meditation, we're very clear and our mind can enter into the state of Dhammadhatu. In the very profound level, we're in the state of Dhammadhatu. In the shallow level, there are many of these thoughts, random thoughts arising. Just like the ocean. On top of the ocean, there are the waves, and the waves are always moving. However, deeper and deeper we go into the ocean, we don't have those movements. There is the shallow level of mind, and then there's the deep level of mind. And in this deep level of mind, there aren't these arising random thoughts. And this is a very pure state of mind, and very difficult to use words to explain. And this state of mind is unmoving. And the state of mind is like space, and you can continue abiding in the state of mind. If we're in the shallow state of mind, then very easily we get disturbed by external appearances and by arising random thoughts. And be clear about this, that the mind has these two different levels, a shallow level and a more profound level. When is it that we are able to very easily, in the moment, enter into this very deep, profound state of mind? And this is what we want to achieve, isn't it? If we find that we have a lot of random arising thoughts and discriminations, then most likely we are in the conceptual state of mind. When abiding in the most profound state of mind, it's like if we take a rock and we throw it into the ocean, and then boom, it just gets absorbed into the ocean. This is the same when we are in this profound state of mind. Just in that moment, we enter into this profound state. In the moment, we can enter into the state of Dhammadhatu. And this is the essence, the very important aspect of the practice of the great perfection. If it is the case that we haven't recognized the true nature of mind yet, then are the outer preliminaries important? They are so important. It is only when we have true renunciation that we will be able to enter into the state of the great perfection. If we don't have renunciation, we will not be able to enter into the state of the great perfection. And then once we've recognized the true nature of mind, of course what is most important is that we abide, we support and abide in the true nature of mind. And in doing this, also very important is that we have renunciation, the outer preliminary practices, and these are practiced in union with our recognition of the true nature of mind. Remember that the practice of great perfection doesn't leave two things. The one is renunciation and the other is our faith. And if we really have a very solid and good practice in these two points, then sooner or later our practice of great perfection will be successful. And these are very, very important pith instructions. And really, they are the essential pith instructions for practicing the great perfection. With faith in the Dharma, and then being able to continue this practice in union with renunciation. And then being diligent in this respect. And if we do this, it's very unlikely that our practice will go down the wrong path. And in meeting a guru, you'll be resolute about your practice, and sooner or later, you will recognize the true nature of mind. And the merits will manifest. Master these aspects, these instructions very well, and your practice will be good. If you don't, then there will be problems with your practice. Just like driving a car, we get the driver's license, and then after that we know. Once we've practiced how to drive, we can drive. The same with the practice. It's very important that we grasp these essential points. If we don't, then our practice won't attain the state of realization. We might attain a lot of merit, but we won't have that ultimate state of realization. And without a good state of realization, then when we meet with difficult situations, what happens is our mind is easily affected. And our mind becomes very scattered.